I've caught up with Tamara Peters, who is working through Teach Beyond, and we're talking about a project that's pretty unique and one that's kind of hard to fathom, especially when you look at education in the North American context. But she's working in the African context, and we're talking about the Sparrow Project. Tamara, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, Ruth.
Let's talk a little bit. I mean, just give me a thumbnail sketch on why the Sparrow Project actually works in the context of education in Africa.
So first of all, you know, what is a Sparrow Project? And right away we think of the Bible verse, how the Lord provides even for the sparrow. So the Sparrow Project aims at servicing schools that we call sparrow schools, and this is especially in the developing world. These are schools that are unseen, under-resourced, schools that we walk by. There's thousands of them, but we just don't see them. And in Africa, we're going to say that there are also schools that we would label Christian schools, but as maybe differently than in our West, is that a lot of schools on the African continent are labeled Christian schools. It seems to attract a lot of people. It attracts. A church will start a school and call it a Christian school. It does not necessarily mean that there's going to be Christian, that you're going to find a lot of Christian values in it. Because what tends to happen is that people separate their academic with their spiritual life. It's like this dualism. We live our Christian world, our Christian life on a Sunday or for the Bible study. But in the school context, there's a total separation. It's like church and state, totally separated. Church and school, even in a Christian school, is also totally separated. So the Sparrow Project aims at really bringing a transformational education to this unseen school, underserved school. And we base our curriculum. So the Sparrow Project is a training, a 2 to 3 year training that we walk alongside a school with their leaders and train them in best practice education, but totally based on a biblical worldview. So that everything that happens as they teach, as they see children, comes out of the biblical worldview, the why. You know, why do we do education? And why are Christian schools different? And so that's a little bit in a nutshell what the Sparrow Project training is. It's this 2 year curriculum teacher training, where we train teachers in national Christian schools of under-resourced Christian schools and walk alongside them in this curriculum training. Of it's basically a teacher education training.
So there had to be a felt need that came about that created the Sparrow Project. What has been the typical result when you go through a commitment of 2 to 3 years? What do you see on the other side?
That's a good question. You know, really, it started out of a project that we started in the DRC and Congo about 7 years ago. We had been invited in by a bishop in the Congo, and who had this kind of vision of the Lord taking him in front of a river and in front of a pond. And the Lord asked him, where is it easier to fish, in the river or in the pond? And the bishop answered, well, it's easier in a pond because the fish are all there. And it was at that time the Lord put on in his mind that really your ponds are your Christian schools in the Congo. And that's the time that you can be fishers of men for these students that are in these ponds, in these Christian schools. That's the time to fish. Because he said, what's happening in the Congo, and the bishop was saying what's happening in the Congo, is kids come in as pagans and they leave as pagans. It's more the river, like they just, there's no change and there's no transformation in your life. So we were invited into Congo to help start a Christian school there which was going to be a pilot and also a model school for other schools. And we spent 2 or 3 years training teachers that we identified, training them in the biblical worldview, training them in teaching skills and assessment, classroom management, but all based in this biblical worldview. Well, this little school, which is now 6 years old, has grown to about 120 students. We started just with kindergarten and first grade. And the school has become so, when people come and observe this school, and they get, it draws a lot of visitors, they just see the transformation and these in the lives of these children, in the way the staff treat each other, in the way the children are experiencing joy and laughter and singing about Jesus and praying, and they're talking about it to their families. And so what's happened now is that other schools around the Congo are asking our little school in the DRC to come and train them. And so our trainers, our teachers there who've been trained, now are going out and training others. So this is where the, this is, and this, they're training, and we call it the Projet Moineau in French, in the Congo, so Sparrow Project in French. And they're going out and doing this Projet Moineau to other schools in the DRC. And so we see it reproducing that way. And that's how it started. That was how the idea really came, is that the school wanted to share what they had been given with other schools, and other schools who wanted to see a transformation in the lives of the students in their schools.
And it's something that can be easily replicated, it sounds like.
Totally. It's really, you know, it's a very basic curriculum. All it takes is some trainers. And we have been focusing on training national trainers. So we might go in as for a while and invest and walk alongside a school, and we draw, some of our trainers come from all over, from Europe, from Canada, from the US, and invest in some national teachers, and they now are going out and training. So yeah, it's a very replicable model, and it just takes some willingness. And you know, we go in maybe a couple, two or three times a year to a school and keep teaching different modules. But the relationship part is really, really key. So it's not just dropping in and training, it's really walking alongside, seeing them, and doing life with them in relationship where growth can really happen. We see that as being really crucial to the training, is in relationship with them.
Which works in the African context. I mean, one of the things that one of the sayings that was repeated multiple times in a short visit to South Africa with an American delegation of media was, you know, everything was late all the time. And we were told that the Americans have the watches, but the Africans have the time.
That is so true. It's an event. It's polychronic event, a focus culture. It's not about getting things done on time. It's about the content or taking time. So relationship, if you're not willing to invest in a relationship, and relationships take time everywhere. So that is crucial to this kind of a training, having the time to walk alongside a group of teachers, to see them, to love them, to live out what God has put in our hearts, and to share that burden with them. So we see a lot of lives transformed as they take the training. You know, we have a lot of teachers come to know Jesus through this training, because some of them for the first time really realize that that Christ wants to reign in all their life, to be savior over all that they do, to impact what they say at home, at school, in all areas of their lives.
So I guess the last two questions are, one, what do you want the takeaway to be on this story for the average listener who would be in North America? Completely, you know, not in the context of education, just somebody who hears this story. What do you want them to take away from it? And then two, how can we be praying?
You know, I think I've been humbled by what I see our African brothers learning, the response to really desiring to keep Christ at the center of in their education, in what they teach, to believe and live out of a biblical, Christ-centered worldview instead of the add-ons that we so often have in our life. You know, we mix secularism with Christianity, humanism with Christianity, and we don't discern anymore, the difference. So maybe that's a challenge to some of the listeners today, is really ask yourself, what is my worldview? What is my biblical worldview? Am I acting out of that, or am I acting out of other stories in my life that have taken a lot of space and room? And so that can be a challenge to you in that way. And to maybe educators that are listening, how are you teaching? Are you basing what you're saying and how you're teaching, how you see children, how you manage your classroom? Is it based out of your biblical worldview, or is it based out of other resources that we are so blessed in some ways also with in our Western world, right? But I'd challenge them to get back to the roots, the way that our African brothers and sisters are challenged to do so as well.
And again, how can people be praying for the project? What do you want them to be praying about when they hear this story?
Well, pray for those Sparrow schools. Think about the schools that are not seen. And maybe when you see a sparrow, you'll remember to pray for these schools. There's thousands of them, probably hundreds of thousands of them throughout Africa. And pray for them, that they would have opportunity to make decisions, to really live out their faith completely, and maybe get in contact with someone who can walk alongside them. They're eager to learn, but sometimes don't exactly know how to do it. And so pray for the schools that we're involved with. We're starting a program in Ethiopia right now. So Ethiopia is a country in crises right at this moment. And actually right now I was supposed to be there teaching a Sparrow Project cohort, which was canceled because of the crises right now going on there. We had to evacuate even our staff. So pray for Ethiopia, pray for our Sparrow Project school starting up there, and also for those in the DRC. Pray for our trainers who are out training, and so that the gospel will be spread and God's kingdom would be built in Africa, but everywhere.
So I was going to close the interview at that point, but then you brought up Ethiopia. So I'm blaming you for this.
Okay. Yep. Well,
it's been tough to get stories out of what's going on in Ethiopia, with the exception of a couple of our partners. We have been able to cover the crisis in Tigray. You know, when you're talking about how disruptive it has been to work, just in a nutshell, tell me, you know, how the situation has affected the staff, and what kinds of disruptions it represents to ministry.
I work mostly in connection with in the capital, and it's a very confusing narrative right now in the capital. I think people are confused. I think people are disappointed. My Ethiopian brothers are disappointed in the West because they felt a little abandoned by them. And you know, it's hard to not be biased one way or the other, I guess. So Ethiopia is a huge country with a lot of tribes. And we hear a lot about the Tigray, and they're the smallest percentage of the population right now. And there's all the others. So I would say, don't forget all the other tribes that are there. And they're confused because they do feel like US, Canada has taken sides with a minority. And so a lot of people are blaming the West for things that are happening right now. They don't want a war. They want peace. And so it's confusing, Ruth. It's hard for me even to explain. But right now the city is quiet. We know TPLF is advancing. We've evacuated our staff, so our schools right now are all going online. Our international schools, we have several members out there. The national schools right now are in the city are still functioning. The universities up north have been closed, and so things are halting. Everyone is holding their breath at what might come, hoping that nothing too damaging comes. And it's very, these next weeks could be very, very critical in going one way or the other. It could be a full-on civil war. It could be a lot of other things. I don't even want to, I can't even go there. But we're praying for peace. We're praying that there's no harm done to the locals there. And of course, we're thinking of those who have already, the collateral damage, those who are suffering that are in the crossfire. There's many, many of those that we know our job after this will be even bigger, because the needs will be in education even greater as this comes to an end, or even as this might be a new normal for a while. This might be here to stay for a while, this state of crises and semi-civil war, if you want to call it that.
That is a hard way to live. I mean, the tension that folks must be feeling as the rebel forces are approaching the capital, you know, you can only live like that for so long. And then what? Stress levels
exactly.
have to be out
exactly.
the roof.
Exactly. That's where right now people are still doing okay. But how long? You're right. How long can you live that way? And that's, you know, right now I'd say it's been pretty intense for about 3 weeks. And how long? And that's going to be where we're just praying for our brothers and sisters there. And some people can leave, but not everyone's supposed to leave, right? This is their life. This is their normal. Now, Ethiopian are such a resilient people, and they have lived through this on and off over the last decades. So we have a lot to learn from them, how they deal with crises and their resilience and their huge trust in the Lord. I mean, it is a country that gets on their knees and prays, Christians, Orthodox, together, and evangelicals, and they come together as a body and are praying for peace. So I believe the Lord is faithful, and I know he's faithful, and there's going to be growth no matter what. On, as we know, in times of trouble, there's always a lot of growth.
As we continue to watch the situation, you know, with Ethiopia being on the brink, looking at the possible threat to peace and stability of the region if Ethiopia goes down, how can we be praying into the situation?
Well, I would pray for the leaders, and I would pray for Dr. Abiy. He is a believer, and I would pray for him. I would pray for his cabinet. I would pray for the nonprofits that are there, that, you know, that speak into the situation. And I would pray that the media, that stories that come out of the media are balanced. I think that's been hard, as it's been, we don't know what to believe anymore. And a lot of it, for it would be great to have a balanced perspective so that we do know how to pray better. It's very confusing for us who want to pray right now, because we don't really know who the good guys and who the bad guys are. And as we know in life, often it's very, very gray, and it's not easy. So pray for peace, pray for those believers there, that are shining their light in this, that their faith would be strengthened, and that they would be a light in this time. Pray for the children who are always vulnerable right now, you know, when schools close, those children aren't in school. There's so many homeless refugees or displaced children. Pray for them as well, and organizations that are helping them and choosing to stay right now and serve those communities as well.